Episode 14.
I've realized that if I have a good relationship, and when I say I'm talking establishment, I'm talking auto check, I'm talking six people that come to work every morning. If when we have a relationship with our customer, nothing else matters.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Let's give a warm welcome to Matthew Royae of AutoCheck in Houston, Texas. Matthew, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I am, Carl. Good morning.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Hey, don't forget to visit the remarkableresults.biz website to read my blogs, listen to all archived podcasts, and get important aftermarket links. If you have a link that should be represented, please forward it to me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Now, on to the podcast. Matthew Royae is owner of AutoCheck in Houston, Texas. He's been in business for 15 years when he started out as a lube technician. This franchisee is a great entrepreneurial success story you will enjoy. He offers wise words on starting a business, on what technology means to the service business today, and his training strategy. Listen how he manages his work-life balance and what was the greatest advice he ever received. His wisdom shines when he talks about the typical struggles that all startups have. He discusses that journey and how he overcame the challenges by believing in it. He loves doing what he does, and it shows. Enjoy. Matthew, tell us about AutoCheck.
Well, AutoCheck is a franchise down here in Houston area. We got about 12 locations. I've been one of their franchisees for a little over 10 years. I've worked in them for 15 years. It's a pretty interesting setup, the way we do business. My store has always been the most successful as far as revenue, as far as procedures that we do, even the culture, everybody in the building. We're pretty much known around town.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about your physical plant, Matthew Bays Tex.
My store here, well, each one of the stores are set up completely differently. They were built in different years. Let me tell you how I started in this.
Sure.
Maybe that would make more sense. So in the year of 2000, I started as a lube tech in a store that is in the west side of town. 5 years later, I ended up buying that store. It became the most successful store, 8 bays. We started with one lube tech, and I was running the show up front, and then it grew to be a beast, I called it, because at some point we had 12 people in the building. It revenued over $2 million a year.
So wait a minute. You were a lube tech, so you didn't own the place you worked at.
I did not at first, no.
So this is a true entrepreneurial story. So give us an idea how you come to own your business.
Well, yeah, you have to understand. You have to want it. You have to want it really, really bad, because there are obstacles on your way that you have to just overcome. And it's a lot of fun. When you look back now, you're like, wow, you know, how did I even make it? But man, I wouldn't do it any other way. If I had to redo it all over again, I may not make as many mistakes as I made, but I'll do it all over again once more. The story is, three main people played a role in this for me to become who I became. Every time I thank them, they say, "Hey, it was all you who did it." But still, there are three main guys. One of them was the guy who gave me a job. To first place as a lube tech. I bloomed in there. That was my first job. I just started working in the back and became a state inspector. And their office was not very efficient. So I started dealing with customers myself. And they realized that this is just the beginning. So I started running the show up front. And before we knew it, it just got better and better from there. When I started thinking about buying the business, there were a lot of obstacles, as you know, financials and licenses, permits, and all those little things that you have to do. I had a partner at first. A year later, I realized that I need to buy him out, so I bought him out. That was very expensive. This was in 2006. When I bought the business, it was doing between $300,000 to $400,000 a year. We end up doing $800,000 the first year, over $1 million every year after that. We got to the point that we were doing $1.4 million. We said, "Man, we got to do something. There's got to be something in this whole procedure, in this whole building, this establishment. If we just tweak this a little bit, we should just overcome that $2 million
sure,
hump."
Sure.
So we set up a goal to do $2 million 1 year, and there was a lot of challenges. We had to upgrade some equipment. We had to find a way to park these cars somewhere. Marketing was very expensive, but we made it. December 21st, I'll never forget, we hit the $2 million mark, so we still had 7 days to go. It was a lot of fun.
And the rest of the days were bonuses.
Rest of the days was just an icing on a cake.
Okay, so you've been around a lot. Let's call it an extreme amount of wisdom, and I like the fact that you'd say you do it over again. And so with all the years that you have in the business, do you see any trends driving the service business today?
Man, it's only getting better. When I look back, there are people who are scared. I can tell you there are business owners that are thinking all this new technology, electric cars, hybrids, all these new things coming over, it's gonna hurt their business. We love it. As long as you stay on top of the game and you understand the technology, this is just, they're creating work for us. It's perfect. We take back-to-back training, every one of us do in this building. I go 3-4 times a year. My techs go twice a year at least. We take online courses. We just stay on top of the game. You have to. Things are changing so fast.
So if you looked at all the reasons for your success, what's really one thing that makes your business great?
If I had to choose one thing, I would say it's my team.
Okay.
It's my people. Without them, I would not be able to achieve this. That's the one thing. But you know, there is more than one thing that makes this clock tick. Everything has to fall in pieces like a piece of puzzle. With one missing, it won't happen. But if I had to choose one piece, I would say it's my team. Since the $2 million deal, I've been setting goals for myself every year. Even when you contacted me and we were trying to do this, I said, "I get back with you because I'm trying to reach this goal this month." Right now we have a goal to meet for this year. It's funny because we set a goal for last month and we outbid it by 20%. So I told my techs I'll take them to Vegas for SEMA show. So they're all fired up for that. So not that we have to meet our own goal for this one, we also have to beat it by another 20% just to match what we did last month. So that's, I'm pretty fired up by that. I guess to answer your question, it would be performance. It would be something that is going to has me fired up right now. It's just to see how much further can we go.
I was going to throw in the word, maybe the word is growth.
You know, there's only so much you can grow. Once you get to that edge of comfort zone and fun and great success, then it's time to trim it and make it very lean.
Okay, so more profits without having to do thousands and thousands of more cars.
Right, working smarter,
not
harder.
Hard. I understand. Yes. Wow, I've heard that somewhere before. Hey, does anything wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Excitement. Yeah, you know, I have no regrets. We do business by golden rule. I cannot tell you how much I love doing this. Everybody in this building comes in with a smile on their face. They're happy throughout the day. And by achieving one goal after another, by even fixing a simple car or helping a customer get from point A to point B, we do stuff for people that cannot afford to fix a car. I don't want to get into that. But what I'm trying to say is we love what we do. So if I get up 2 o'clock in the morning, it's probably something that I come up with. Like, man, we should try this. Maybe this will work. We have quick meetings. We call it a 5-minute meeting. Cannot go over 5 minutes. This happens almost every day, at least every other day. So we sit down and it goes around the table of what can we do to improve? Just pick one little thing. And it's simple stuff. I mean, one day is, can we install big mirrors? Just something as simple as that. It makes a world of difference.
That's a great takeaway. 5-minute meetings.
5-minute meetings.
Every day.
Every day.
Wow.
Every day. Every single day.
I love it.
And we don't let it go over 5 minutes, because if it's over 5 minutes, there is an issue. And then if there is an issue, I need to get with that person one-to-one and find out what can we do to resolve that issue. We don't have problems here. We just have small issues that we need to resolve.
Yeah, but over 5 minutes, it becomes a real meeting then.
Right. And I wouldn't want that. It's too long. 5 minutes. It'll do it.
So I asked you, what's your one thing that makes the business great? What's one thing that is your strength as an entrepreneur?
I would say firing my, when I say firing, I don't mean like get rid of them. I mean, motivating my people.
Firing them up,
Firing them up is what I was going to say. Yeah. Motivating, yes. I would say that would be my strength.
On the opposite side, do you have a weakness?
Oh, yes, I do. I got a few of them that I'm working on. I'm not a good listener. I lose my focus really quick if the person who is speaking with me is not down to the point. And I'm not patient at all.
You sound like a dominant type personality. Come to me with solutions. I have no time to talk.
Yeah. I want to just down to the point. Tell me what the problem is and what it takes to fix it. And, you know, get out of my way.
Be quick, be gone,
so
right?
Be quick, be gone. That's right. Okay. That's right. But there are times that we need to listen.
I hear that listening is an art and a science, and you have to work at it, right?
Ooh, man, I've been working at it for years. I'm better, a lot better, but I have to constantly remind myself that this is something that is going to help me if I just keep listening to my people.
So you're an excitable, very engaged, wise entrepreneur. How do you balance that passion for your business and your home life?
You know, I got a lovely wife. I got two boys. They're at the age of 6 and 8, mm-hmm. and I'm still their hero, and I want to be their hero as long as I can stay their hero. They're both gearheads, and they support me. If I have to work like one day, I just call and say, boys, I got to stay. This is a reason. And they understand. At the same time, I try to keep the balance at home. So if I have to take a day off, I take weeks off sometimes, take them on long vacations. A couple of times a year, we do that. Even though not being here hurts, not being with them hurts as well. So I have to balance that out as much as I can. I understand the value in that. Without one, the other will not exist.
Great advice to everyone listening. And what would be the greatest advice you've ever received?
Good question. Probably the best advice I've ever received is, you know how you can seek education by spending a lot of your time or a lot of your money, or you can simply learn by asking someone who's been down that path. So I surrounded myself with a bunch of knowledgeable, smart business owners that they may not be in the same industry as I am, but we all share same problems pretty much. So if I would choose one thing, it would be do not quit ever.
Ah, do not quit ever.
It'll come around. After a struggle, it'll come around.
So is it like having patience?
It's not like having patience, because it will hurt. With patience, you just have to sit there and wait. With struggle, you have to believe in it. You have to want it, and you have to believe in it, and you have to just ride it. Don't quit. If anybody wants to start their own business, I can tell you that within the first 2 years, it's going to be very rough. It's not for everyone. It's going to be time consuming. It's going to be very costly. It's going to be painful.
Commitment, staying power.
Yeah, I was looking for that word, commitment.
Okay.
If I had to say, someone give me a word of wisdom, say, hey, this is what you need, it would be commitment.
Is there anything holding you back right now?
No.
How often do you self-evaluate?
Every day.
Take us to a moment in time of an incredible aha moment that you've had. Tell us the story.
You know, the biggest aha moment that I had was I realized what you put in is what you get out. It's just simple. If you give with this hand, you're going to receive with the same hand. If your business is based on integrity, everything else is going to follow. If you advertise, you're going to have car count. If you treat your people well, they're going to treat your customers well. It's just that simple. It's karma. That was my biggest aha moment. And I live by it. I rule by it. Everybody in this building does the same.
Wonderful story. Thank you. Let's talk about the customer. You know, true differentiation in a business brings value to the customer because you try harder to beat your competitor. What's your strongest differentiation?
Value. You just made it. You know, one of the things I've learned throughout a decade of owning a business, 15 years of working in it, and I don't like saying working in it. I like to say working on it, but I catch myself working in it every day, doing little things that matters. I've realized that if I have a good relationship, and when I say I'm talking establishment, I'm talking auto check, I'm talking six people that come to work every morning. When we have a relationship with our customer, nothing else matters. They do not care about the price. Service still does matter. That's probably the second in the line. I would say if you make a relationship with your customer and treat them like he's your friend, your family member, that is it. You can close the box. If you can't make a relationship with them, you have to provide an excellent service. Whatever excellent is to that customer, either is fast, either is taking them to work, either is giving them in a loaner car, whatever that service means to them, it's different for every customer. For a mom, it's different than for a guy that needs to get to work. For another person that has three cars, it doesn't matter, you know, how fast you fix it, he wants it fixed right. So it's different per client. If the service is not good, you better have a great quality that nobody else can beat. And if your quality sucks, you better be very cheap. So what I'm trying to say, price is not our priority, or many of our customers don't even care about.
In those high relationship customers, how many drop their keys and say, Matthew, fix it?
Fix it. That's we love them. As much as they like us, we love them. And we have, I would say 20% of my clientele don't even come inside the office. They call and say, keys in the ignition, go pick it up. Some just open the door, throw the key and say, fix it.
About 20%. Okay.
I would say 20%. We know every one of them by first name, last name. We know their address. It's not just myself. Everybody does. The rest of them, we want to make the top 20%.
Matthew, when you review your day and you say that you kind of do our daily review, what's the recurring problem that needs the most attention?
If I had to pick one thing again, see, the stuff you're asking is hard. In our industry, there are multiple. It's chain effect.
Okay, well, give me two or three.
Okay, so if I had to improve our daily operation, it would be the final result. It would be the time of delivery of the car. There are days that we struggle because everything gets ready between 3 to 4 o'clock. Now we have 20 cars to wash. Now we have 20 customers to pick up. So that is something that we try to schedule throughout the day. So not all of it is left for the end of the day. However, it's a daily challenge because people work till 5 o'clock. Everybody wants to be picked up at 5 o'clock.
Because they think they're your only customer.
That's exactly right. In their point of view, they're important.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if they spend $20 or $2,000. For them, they're still our customer. And it's the same way for us.
The end of the day rush is a tough thing. What else?
It would be probably part delivery.
Okay.
It would. We're fast. We are very fast. Meaning, same day service, 90-95% out of the time. So I have two guys dedicated to parts, and there are days that one is going north and one is going south just to be able to gather all those parts I need for this car to be done today. Now, a lot of roles play in that because we rely on our suppliers to have this part in stock when they tell me they have it in stock, and we go there to pick it up. We don't even wait for the delivery.
You don't wait for delivery, you go?
A lot of times we do.
Wow. When they deliver, what's the expected delivery? I mean, are you looking to get a part within a half hour?
I know that was one of the questions coming up from you. So I'm lucky enough to have two of my very main vendors within 5 mile radius. So the answer is yes. As long as they have the part in stock, I get it less than 30 minutes. I have four main vendors. Two of them are very close. One of them is not very close, but they have scheduled delivery. So I know if it's not on 8 o'clock, truck is going to be on 12 o'clock truck. And if it's not on 12, it's going to be on 2. But sometimes I cannot wait 2 hours and I got to go. So those are the times that we go to pick them up. Dealer parts are another challenge because we have to go pick them up a lot of times. Their delivery is not very efficient.
So your parts runners probably also help pick up your customers if they need to come in and get their cars. So they've got a multiple purpose.
They do. So one of the biggest improvements we did just recently, and I want to share this with you, it's we got two-way radios.
Oh.
And this was one of my technician's ideas. He goes like, man, instead of going back and forth so many times, why don't we all get two-way radios? I said, okay, I'll order a set from Amazon. I mean, not very expensive, just a set. So instead of calling each other, hey, can you pick this customer up on your way? You can just get them on the radio. Come in. And they go like, yes, sir. Now we have all these fun phrases that we use. And I got three guys that served in military. So they are.
Breaker 1-9.
There are a lot of fun to talk to over the radio. And then we advanced it a little. We went one step further and we got this really cool headset that looks like CIA headsets. And they're wearing it all the time. I mean, this plug is in their ear all the time. So this is pretty cool now. They pull a car around the corner. They're like, hey, I'm coming around the corner. So everybody's watching for them. They're like, hey, can you help me get on an alignment rack?
Okay, Matthew, what's your nickname?
Chief Commander. They call me Chief Commander. They call me different names. But it's funny you ask. We all have nicknames in the building. Every one of us have a nickname, and we go by that.
Okay, well, great. So you have a lot of responsibility to purchase the right parts of quality for your customer's car. What makes you choose those parts and your suppliers?
You just said it. Quality is first to me. Of course, price is very important because we want to also provide a compatible price to our customers because – man, to this day and age, they already know what it costs. 5 years ago, nobody knew what's what. Right now, you tell them something, Google is their best friend. They already know how much it costs. They already know who sells it. They already know how to get it. So quality, it's important, especially for us. We provide a three-year warranty. In order for us to be able to do that without going bankrupt, I don't want to see that car again with the same problem. Therefore, we want to use as many as original equipment parts as possible. So my vendors, for Ford, I use Motorcraft. For Chevy, I use AC Delco. For Chrysler, I use Mopar. So I stick with the original equipment parts. So quality is very important. Second, it's their speed. A lot of times, if they don't have the one I need in stock, I have to go with a second brand just to be able to get this car out of the bay and get the customer back in.
You talked about training earlier in the podcast. What's your preferred way of getting your technicians trained?
I don't have a preferred method. We normally talk about this first, and we say, okay, do we need to advance ourselves in hybrid? Do we need to advance ourselves in, you know, reprogramming and flashing new computers? Mm-hmm. And then we seek information of who's providing the training, and we go there. We don't go by who's bringing the flyer, and we're going to go to this one. We're going to go to what we need and which one do we need to.
So you're strategizing about the need for your shop. You're just not saying, oh, there's a clinic, let's go. You won't invest in training unless you know it's necessary.
It's going to benefit everybody. Yes, it's going to benefit everybody. And a lot of times, normally, not all of us take the same training. Five guys in the back, two in the front. So If one of the guys goes, for example, on an alignment machine training, let's just call it that because it's a simple thing to do, not everybody else is going to go in the building. They can spend their time learning something that the other ones don't do, and they teach each other.
Is there anything you feel your primary supplier could do to improve your business relationship?
Yes. Some do provide a good warranty. Most don't. Most of their warranties is 1 year. I know parts stores offer a lifetime warranty here and there, but as you know, most of those parts are garbage, remanufactured parts that I don't want to use. So if I want a brand new compressor for AC job on a late model Chevy, it's only 12 months warranty on that thing. Truck is 2 years old, they already need a compressor, and I know that I'm going to give this guy a 3 year warranty. There's a good chance I'm going to have to redo this just because of a poor design. A better warranty would probably be my request. If I had to ask them to improve on one thing, I would say, hey, improve your warranty.
How important is social media like Facebook in your business?
Very important. Not just Facebook, just getting yourself out there. We have people reach us through Facebook, Yelp, even our Google Plus page, some with questions about their cars, some about hiring, some about, you know, feedback. of how their experience was. And that is priceless. They would not get on a phone and tell me, hey, you guys did this and I didn't like, or hey, you did this and you saved my day. Thank you. They would not do that, but they will get online and they'll write something about you.
Matthew, do you do any community involvement?
We do a lot of them, starting with schools. We do car clinic. There are a few churches that we're involved in, and if there are families that are in need, we normally just take care of the car for them so they can be safe on the road.
How do you see technology impacting your business today and in the future?
It's only getting better. As long as you stay on top of the game, it's only getting better.
So you're loving it.
I love it.
And you love it because you're a geek in a checkered shirt here, or is it because you know that brings more people in?
I set myself up for that one, didn't I? Both. I love to see the way the new technology works. You know, every time they announce a new car that's going to come out with a new gadget in it, I just love it. I want to see how it works. I want to see why does it do it, what it does. I also know that's going to break down, and it's going to have to come in here to get fixed.
Of all your marketing methods, what's your highest return at lowest cost?
There is no such a thing. Word of mouth. I would call it word
okay.
of mouth. If there's no marketing, like one customer telling another customer, hey, these guys are great, just go ahead and use them. Marketing has become very expensive, very, very expensive. If I tell you...
You send out postcards?
We do everything, Carm. We go as far as paying Google to paying Yelp to sending postcards. We have our own flyers with really cool pictures that we send out to people who just recently moved to our neighborhood. You name it. We have 10 or 11 different things that we do every day. This is daily operations. We don't wait for one to work or not to work to go to the next. We do them all. And I believe you need to. I mean, that's the only way to do it. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. You're in the Peak Performance Group?
I am.
Tell us about that.
ATI has been great. Okay, the Automotive Training Institute, It's a institute, just as it is in the name, that you can become a part of if you are an auto repair shop. And they teach you how to become better and better and better. There are multiple 20 groups within the organization. So after you go through all the training and you really know what you're doing and you know how to keep your head above the water, they put you in these 20 groups that you can, it's like board of directors, if
sure.
you will. Because we can sit down and talk about everybody's problems, and these guys are just awesome. So my Peak Performance Group, these men and women in our case, there are really peak performers. And I cannot tell you how much I've learned from these people. I suggest for every business owner, doesn't matter in what industry, to seek this type of coaching or education. Because you can never learn enough. You know, the only thing I learned is I don't know nothing.
And I have...
All I know is I know nothing.
I've spoken to some guys. In fact, they say that they took so much, they stopped it, and they realized that they weren't anywhere near as good as they were with it. So they got back in it and continue to reinvest in the coaching in the group, in the 20 group. Has it ever come across... You?
My mind to quit? No.
Okay.
For one, I'm not a quitter. So if I start something, I'll go all the way. And I don't care what it is. Even if I realize in the middle of it that, hey, this may not have been the best way to do it. I want to finish it. Coaching, I don't care what you do. Everybody needs coaching. It helps to have somebody look over your shoulders and tell you, hey, you're on course. You're doing the right thing. As far as did it help me? It did help me a lot. But again, is what you do and what are you going to make out of it? You can just sit there and say, oh, it didn't do anything for me. It's because you don't apply yourself. Or you can get all that information. And you have to understand, there is no such a thing as enough when you get into learning about business, especially with the speed this world is changing. Every week, every day, there is something new. I cannot keep up with all that. Nobody can keep up with all that. So how valuable is it to you that you can call someone and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this equipment. Has any of you tried this? And you get hundreds of emails within a day saying, it sucks, don't get it, or it's great, I'm using it. How valuable is
that? It's huge. And I have to tell you, I have a great takeaway. This could be even the title of our newsletter announcing your podcast. And it goes like this. There's no such thing as enough.
That's
I
right.
I love it.
Yeah, we don't.
I love it. Thank you. Hey, does the independent aftermarket do a good job of convincing the vehicle owner to come there instead of an OEM dealer?
That is a constant battle too. So I'll give you a few examples. I see it as a wave. We ride this wave up and down depending on who the customer is and what brand of car they're driving. Many of new cars will come with a certain amount of free maintenance. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not that great, meaning they tell their customers they don't have to change their oil but every 10,000 to 15,000 miles. Everybody knows that's not good for their engine. I know when that car is out of warranty, it's going to need a lot of work. Convincing that customer that I'm right and a dealer is wrong is a constant battle. However, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting our industry at all. So those customers are going to go through a set of free maintenance programs, 3, 4, maybe 5 years. Cars are designed to last a lot longer than 5 years these days. These cars are going to last them 10 years. If they do their maintenance right, it can even outperform what they think it's going to last them. So by the time it's out of warranty, I get to see it because dealer cannot provide the same level of customer service as we do, even though they're really trying. 5 years ago, they were really bad. Right now, they're just bad. They're not really bad. I hear horror stories every
day. I hear this is their new frontier, though. Get that right, and they're going to take business.
Yes, they are definitely focusing in their service department. I don't know how much time we have. I can get into many, many, many examples, but I tell you a short one. We just recently bought a new car, and for my wife, and happy wife makes a happy life, so she gets a new car every time.
Yes, sir.
she bought this new car, and American made, and a costly one, very expensive one, and it ended up breaking when it had less than 1,000 miles. So I'm very frustrated. She's very frustrated. So we make an appointment. She takes it to the dealership, and her frustration went away because as soon as she pulled in the dealership, apparently there was this big old display that says welcome with her name. And she was all giggled, like, how did they know my name? How did they fill this up? Well, they pull that information by your license plate. But what I'm trying to say is they're improving their service by throwing this little gadgets, and you know, they make you a cup of coffee and they make you a little cookie, and now they're providing loaner cars for everybody, depending on which dealer you go to. That wasn't the case before. They were like, go get your rental car and we'll get to it when we get to it.
Right,
right now they call you every day and they say, hey, you know, today we didn't get to it or we did get to it. So they're definitely improving. I hear that they are also attending to many of the courses and classes that we're attending as far as customer service. I've met a lot of their service advisors in the classes that I go, random classes that they're just sitting there and they're just seeking information of how to provide an excellent customer service. They're hearing all these success stories about the independent shops and what are they doing to retain a customer for a life of that vehicle, not just a one-time deal.
Well, Matthew, I have to tell you, you have given us some incredible takeaways for...
I'm glad.
I'm happy for your success, and I want to give you the last word. So I want you to, if you can, because I know you're a man of very few words, give us some words to live by.
I would say we went over this already, and I live by the same rules. It's in our mission statement in this building. It's also our rules at home. It's very simple. When it goes around, it comes around. It's the golden rule. I mean, it's known by different names, platinum rule. Some people call it karma. I mean, it's in every religion. It doesn't matter. If you if you cheat and you lie, you can end up paying for that. Maybe not today, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. If you do things right, again, it's going to come around and it's going to bloom. It may not do it today, but it will do it. It's going to come around. So we live by those rules, and we do business by those rules, and it has worked for me. It's the right thing to do. Let's call it that.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.